podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today, Thursday, April 5th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Make sure to visit our Normal eBay auctions. That Woody Harrelson picture is up there, along with the federal medical marijuana delivery tin. We have links to Normal's eBay auctions on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. We got a great jam-packed stash for you today. We'll have music from Chuck D and Public Enemy in the program today. And we'll hear from San Diego medical marijuana patient and activist Rudy Reyes. So let's get the show started. First up today, we've got news from Normal. Our news today. University of Maryland student government votes in favor of campus marijuana penalty reform. The student government at the University of Maryland voted in favor of a resolution to reduce the campus penalties for minor marijuana possession last night. Currently, the campus policy lumps marijuana-related offenses as Level A, the most extreme category of offenses, which include rape and arson. The current policy weighs heavy consequences, usually associated with violent crimes, for even first-time marijuana possession within campus housing. Students for Sensible Drug Policy and the campus chapter of Normal have worked for over a year to move marijuana penalties into the Class B level of offenses. Joining us today to discuss the SGA vote last night and policies at the University of Maryland campus is Anastasia Costner, the president of the campus SSDP chapter. Stacia, welcome back to the Audio Stash today. Now, tell us about this SGA vote there last night and what SSDP and Normal are seeking to change there on campus.
We started a safer campaign with Normal Terps in the fall of 2005. To get these penalties for on-campus possession and use decreased, because we thought that they were unduly harsh and that they punish students twice. They get punished in the university system. And then, so we've been working on that, and then we got a voter referendum passed in which 65% of voted for the proposed changes of making marijuana possession offenses the same sanctions as one would receive on campus for underage drinking offenses. And then after that, we did a follow-up with the Residence Hall Association, in which we wrote a bill, and that it was more specific in that it just regarded one policy within the residence halls for those who live in the residence halls. And we wanted to move it from an A-level violation, which warrants automatic housing termination, which means you're evicted from your dorm if you're caught for a first-time marijuana possession offense. We wanted to move those to B-level violations, which are less detrimental to the entire community, like underage drinking or noise violations and stuff like that. And then last night was another push that we needed, and this was just the SGA saying that they supported the last vote that went through of the changing of these offenses from an A level to a B level.
And under current policy, what happens to students right now?
Well, here at the University of Maryland, if caught with any amount of marijuana, or if the RAs smell what they're highly trained to detect as the odor of marijuana, they're instructed to immediately call the police, and they do. And the police will come in, and they will search your room, and they will take you to jail. I've known people who've been to jail overnight just for, you know, a gram or less even of marijuana. So they take you to jail, and then you have to come back to campus, and you have to deal with the legal consequences on your own. And then the university imposes all these sanctions, 2 years random drug testing at your expense, a substance abuse intervention program, which you also have to pay for. If you fail any one of those drug tests, you're automatically suspended for a year. Just those types of things, and it's something that could really follow someone around for quite a long time after the incident.
And does this SGA vote last night take this policy change a step further to where, you know, the administrators are going to have to take a very close look at this and even alter the policy?
Right. Well, see, the thing is, I met with one of the deans here. She's actually vice president of student affairs. Her name's Dr. Linda Clement, in the summer, August of 2006. To discuss implementing such changes as a result of just our past voter referendum. And she told us that we would need to go through all of these, you know, bureaucratic avenues if we were to get it changed, and we would need to show support and blah, blah, blah. So we went through it all, and we did all the red tape and the bureaucratic nonsense, and now we're back up to it again where we're just basically, it's not even about marijuana anymore. It's about the administration listening to the student's voice and respecting the student democratic process and respecting these legislative bodies as if they had some kind of, you know, real authority in changing things, because if they did, the policy would have already been changed. So we're just really kind of pushing them to say, you know, what more do you want from us? We've given you every avenue you've asked for demonstrated support for this change. And, you know, we've given you all the facts, answered all of your questions. Now we're really just waiting on them to make a decision.
And are those campus administrators there resistant because of some unfounded perceptions of state and federal education grants?
Well, see, that's a common misconception, I think, that people might have, especially on campus here, is that the federal guidelines stipulate that public universities need to have a written drug policy, but does not specify anything further over and above that. So as long as the university has something written down as their drug policy, then they are abiding by federal guidelines. And they, you know, what happens here to students is not the norm all over the country at public and private institutions. It's just this doesn't happen to people everywhere. I think it's a combination of factors, one being the Len Bias overdose incident in the 1980s, which was a very long time ago, and these policies are very draconian and not being changed. So it's been extra hard for us here to get it changed than it would be for, you know, a more liberal school. That's just some of the outside things that we're kind of dealing with here as well. But yeah, the situation at Maryland is a bit more severe than it is at most other schools.
And Stacia, the SSDP and normal campus chapters there at the University of Maryland have been pretty dynamic. So it seems that this policy change has a lot of support on the ground there.
Oh yeah, there is. We wouldn't have been able to get any of this legislation passed or raise any of this awareness if it hadn't been for, you know, the enormous amount of dedication that comes from our SSDP and normal chapter members. We've just been growing and growing in size. I've been president for a year now, and we probably have a weekly attendance at our we have SSDP first and third Wednesdays and normal second and fourth Wednesdays, and we probably have an average attendance of about 30 to 50 kids every week. So we're really happy with, you know, all the support that we're getting. We get, you know, we have a lot of friends and a lot of contacts now in other student groups and in legislative bodies. So we're really diversifying the movement, and a lot of people are finding out some things that they may not have known before or ever, unless it was for the efforts of normal and SSDP.
And even with the proposed change in policy, I understand that students found in possession on campus would still face penalties.
Oh, absolutely. It would be, you know, we're not suggesting that we condone or think it's acceptable for kids to break the law and, you know, smoke marijuana in the dorms for a number of reasons. But, you know, these kids are young. They're in a college environment. They're living away from home for the first time. And if someone makes a mistake, it shouldn't ruin their entire, you know, collegiate career and then ultimately the rest of their life, the mistake they made when they were 18 years old. If it were to be enacted, this change that we've been pushing for, then the penalties would be very similar to those if you were caught underage drinking. There would be a warning system. You would get, you know, maybe three strikes you're out kind of rule, or maybe we'll have to compromise and the administration will say two strikes you're out, something like that. But just right now, we want to eliminate the blanket policy of any amount of marijuana on campus and you are immediately evicted from the dorms. So we don't think that it should be on par. A-level violations are the most serious and severe violations that we could do with arson, sexual assault, and really, really just detrimental things to the entire community, hurting others on purpose are A-level violations, and they warrant, you know, automatic determination because those people who break those rules are deemed a threat to the community. And then level, just, you know, underage drinking, noise disturbances, you know, bothering someone, less severe things like that that could, you know, if they added up, become a problem, then it would be taken on a case-by-case basis, and there would be given warnings before anything drastic would happen.
And also, Stacia, I have to ask, was this vote last night with strong support of this change by the student government a surprise?
Well, with the SGA, it was a bit of a surprise because I knew I had the support of a few executives and one or two legislators I had really strong support from, but the rest had really been sort of quiet or hesitant to talk about it before. And then, you know, it came up last night and I was, some arguments came up that were kind of just misconceptions, and the author of the bill, who's in the SGA, cleared them up for them and handled the questions very well. And we brought a lot of students out to support last night, and I think they recognized that as well. And I think all those things and just, you know, the nature of it being a common sense change all put into place contributed to their positive decision on it.
Stacia, this has been great. Thank you for joining us here today, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, we'll definitely keep you updated.
Thanks again, Stacia. Anastasia Costner is the president of Students for Sensible Drug Policy at the University of Maryland. We have links to their website and to the Normal Terps on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Next up on Normal's Daily Audio Stash today, it is a great privilege to bring you the next track of music, Public Enemy, off their brand new album out just last month. The album's called Rebirth of a Nation. It's Public Enemy featuring Paris, and of course featuring the lead voice of the legendary Chuck D. They're on the Gorilla Funk Recordings label. We have links to them on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. So without ado, here's Public Enemy's newest track.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck, man. That's what you gotta do. You got to tell them just like that. You know what I'm saying? Yo, man, let me tell you a little something, man. All these brothers around here fiending for that crack-a-lack-a-lack. You dig what I'm saying? Yo, man, all they wanna do is get what you got. But when you ain't got nothing, then they wanna cut you off. So what you gotta do? You gotta play them long distance. You know what I'm saying? I mean, long distance. They think we take it short. Show them this is Cole Medina, man.
Back one more time. Here to put the message in a rough rhyme. It's important that you know in the time, cause I'm seeing the program. Know what I'm knowing, until we get together we will never be up for sure. So I rap like I'm possessed by Malcolm X. See the feds wanna stab, we too complex. I always speak the truth, coming from me to you. We moving as a unit, so you know we refuse to lose. I got my eyes on the lines from Washington. I'm a survivor, I know how the West was won. See a show and tell, the way the COINTEL undermine the real hip hop so the cops can trail. But no bad boy boys move in silence, save us all from the pain of a life of violence. They tapping my phone, full grown and known, and still prone to refute the lies. Won't stop until we rise. Rise up, come on. Come on. Rise. Rise up, come on.
One more time.
Come on. Rise. Rise up,
come on.
soldier to the bone for change. Demonstrate and separate the fact for strange. Blame companies killing our children with the villains of the record. Never think for a second that's the way we live. Wanna squeeze from the fleas at MTV? We quiz knots for the cops and BET. Seize the time, always rhyming, combining the antidote for dope in a scope and fake gangster quotes. Cause I can recollect times with record set. Collect a debt, brother, you mind if you sell us a jet? Rise the program to feed the beastie. Cause on the street they do us, we influenced by what we see. And yes, it weighs a ton, I say it once again. That's why the enemy is down with Paris and Cam. It's all fan, we collide with live. Better decide on what side you ride. Won't stop until we rise. Rise up,
come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up. Never playing no games, never cooning is proven that we're ready for change. Never simping, but they pimping my people for the dollar. So I holler back and keep us from evil to them devils are calling. Like I said, it's on, I say it once again. Better know the plan to keep us ignorant. Brother to brother, ain't no other cause mother. Or erase my case, we marry words with
face.
Just another wicked rhyme that I'm rapping on. S1's got my back if the clapping come. Pass on the work, making sure the words are known. Keep them nervous, make them understand we're serving foes. Keep it going strong, nevertheless. Know the enemy and never back down. You could take it to press. Less the mic like the art. Though I told you before, we for the prize. Emphasize the fight. Now come on and rise. Rise up.
Come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up.
That was Public Enemy, Chuck D, Kieron Normal's Daily Audio Stash today. That's off their brand new album, Rebirth of a Nation. That's on Gorilla Funk Recordings. We have links to the album up at normalaudiostash.com.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Next up today, we're going to check in with one of the hot zones for medical marijuana access in California. That's San Diego County. San Diego has yet to issue a single medical marijuana identification card or even make a program to make them available, all while ushering in the Drug Enforcement Administration and closing down every dispensary in San Diego County. We've highlighted all those events in San Diego right here on the Audio Stash with Rudy Reyes, and he joins us again today. Rudy's a medical marijuana patient and activist there in San Diego, and perhaps the most visible activist right now in the county fighting for medical marijuana access. Rudy has been standing up against the County Board of Supervisors and standing up for his rights in San Diego, and he joins us today to discuss his newest lawsuit. Rudy, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
How are you doing?
Doing wonderful today, Rudy, and it's great to have you back on the program today to discuss everything going on there in San Diego. But, you know, before we go into this most recent legal fight, let's talk about this armed robbery. Tell us what happened there at your house.
Oh, wow. Okay, basically, since us patients either are being targeted or not being helped by the local law enforcement. And with, you know, what we'll say San Diego going such down the tubes with the economy going down so bad and so fast. You have people just committing robberies left and right. But basically what happened is I got a call from my lawyer after saying that they had just finished raiding the gang, we'll call it, that's out here in San Diego, a well-known gang throughout the United States. But they had just finished raiding their growth and taking their equipment. And then literally a week and a half later, I get myself raided and they take my stuff. And they claim to be the same people. So I basically got caught in the middle of politics and the fact that they're going after the illegal people. And these illegal people just came after me and got my stuff.
And Rudy, you had to move your residence because of all this. Is that right?
The state paid for me to go into witness relocation because I saw their faces. They left fingerprints, the whole dilly. And long story short, the state paid for me to move.
Wow.
So I was defended once again by my state after all this stuff happened.
Wow, Rudy. I mean, that's just, it's outrageous. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners think the same here as we listen to you. And you've been waging this just tireless legal battle there now. So tell us about your most recent case, one that's going to federal court.
What's going on is I'm suing the County of San Diego for not allowing me access to my medication. Under ADA, which is a federal law, I have a right to equality and being able to live just like everybody else does. In other words, a happy, healthy life.
And just to make clear for our listeners here, the ADA is the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Exactly. And it was just basically a way of making sure that disabled people had the same opportunities and quality of life as those without the disabilities. So with County of San Diego basically making cannabis medical use almost impossible to get hold of, I decided to sue them saying, hey, under ADA, you guys are violating my rights. And the whole thing is ADA is constitutional. It's based on the Constitution. All of the laws which were applied for the Cannabis Controlled Substance Act are legislative laws. Therefore, my rights to cannabis for my medical use are constitutional and trump the legislative laws. Yes, so it's gone federal, and we're waiting to see what they say on that end. As far as I know, this is going to be the first time anybody's ever been on not the plaintiff's side, but the other side using medical cannabis on a federal case.
And Rudy, remind us how these legal battles of yours began there in San Diego.
A year ago, I was raided personally by Grow, which was in San Diego, and they turned around and they raided me, they confiscated, they took all my things, they never arrested me, they never pressed charges on me. And then 2 weeks later, 2 months later roughly, I'm going up to L.A. to get my medication, and they stop me at the borderline and basically arrest me there, and then I can spend the night in jail. Then I get brought out the next day after somebody pulls up $6,000 to bail me out because it was a $60,000 bail. And let's say the next Thursday, I go in to meet with the district attorney, and he basically closes my file and says, don't worry about it. All your charges on your grow and your little being caught at the border check thing here are going to be dropped. Don't worry about it. Yet I'm out all my goods. I'm out my medication. I'm out time. I've been put in jail. I had to pull up money to get myself out of jail. So that's basically where it all stemmed from.
Now, Rudy, the last time we had you here on the program, we were discussing the lawsuit with the San Diego County Board of Supervisors who are challenging the medical marijuana ID card program in the state. The judge in that case ruled against the county. You know, has anything changed there in San Diego since that ruling?
No. It's the same old, they've decided to appeal that last ruling by Judge Nevitz, which was that they had to basically help us out as patients in San Diego, and he gave them like 90 days to comply with that. Well, they appealed it, them and Riverside County. They both decided to join. Merced dropped out of the case. They're tired of fighting this. But from there, again, they're holding on to that same hatred. They appealed that case, and they're going on with it. So I decided now is the time to step in since I have this judge's backing saying that yeah, federally they were not going to be, you know, any malice from the federal government on medical cannabis in the state. And they appealed that. So I'm saying, no, this is wrong. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to apply a federal law to help defend my medical cannabis here. That's where I stand.
So what's the next step for this case? I know your attorney, Mark Blumel, has just filed it.
We're going to see a judge. We're going to see a judge. Of course, over here, they're claiming, at first they claimed that it was a frivolous lawsuit and that it wouldn't go anywhere. Literally a week and a half later, they decided to take a federal route on it, and they put us at that level of court. This is a new thing for me and my lawyer. We were pretty confident on staying in state. In the federal level, little things have changed here and there, And, of course, we're looking for people to help us out. So any help from the community would be greatly appreciated. And that's where it sits. We're waiting to see the judge for the first time and see what he thinks of it from the get-go.
And Rudy, is there some level of public outrage starting to surface on this issue in San Diego regarding medical marijuana?
Everybody right now, because of the, we'll call it Bushism that's going on, they don't know what to do. I've been telling disabled people, go into your local politics. That's where we have our voice still applicable. You know, you can go to your city hall, you can go to your county meetings, and the people that don't really have an everyday thing to do, like a disabled person like I am, go and get involved in your local politics, because the only way you're going to make a change there locally. Regarding this whole thing with San Diego, I don't know. It's more of a personal vendetta now. It's not even the fact that we're the position we're in or the locale. It's a personal vendetta of these board of supervisors in San Diego. They had it against Steve 10, 12 years ago, and they're continuing on today.
So do you feel that this is really a personal vendetta on the part of just a few politicians there that's causing this whole situation in San Diego for you and all of the other patients?
Pretty much. As simplistic as that sounds, that's what's going on.
Now, Rudy, I also have to ask, and I know we touched on this before on the heels of the dispensaries being closed by the DEA, but now almost a year on, what are medical marijuana patients doing for access in San Diego County?
Well, a lot of them are either going up to L.A. or they've gone into that whole recessive depression. I've seen a lot that don't know what they're doing now. They don't have any place to go to for their medication. We're being sent to the streets to get anything. And any time any shops comes up in San Diego, they pull a weird spin on it in the media where, let's say, they send in an illegal kid. And he claims he has that's just what happened 2 weeks ago. He claimed he had medical cannabis at school, and then they went and raided the shop he got it from. It wasn't even like he was really a patient. They just did it and claimed it as in, let's say, a little Republican scheme to keep this bad in the media. I actually spoke on media that night against it, saying, no, if there were regulations in San Diego, stuff like this wouldn't be happening. This wouldn't be in kids' hands. It would be like, let's say, the medication morphine, in the sense that it's so well controlled and regulated that they wouldn't have a chance to even get hold of it.
And Rudy, as a patient, you know, as an activist, what do you envision as a workable solution to all of this right now for patients and regular cannabis consumers as well?
You know, I think, and here's a big thing. I think if, let's say we started off with getting federal recognition that if your state has a medical use on a federal level, you also have a medical defense. I think that would be a simple thing that would keep it only in certain people's hands. You know, nothing against the recreational user, but the fact is my fight here is trying to get my medication. And they're going to constantly spin those people against me.
So it sounds like the only real cure for medical marijuana access working for all the patients most efficiently is to have overall decriminalization.
That would be one very easy way of handling this. Just have it reclassified and put down a level on that classification, and things are handled. But again, there's the whole Anslinger problem from 1930s of the way he made this look. And he made it look, and this is literally, you know, quoting from his own words, worse than Frankenstein. He had the whole thing of making or spinning this to be, it's going to make you go crazy, and the people who were educated and brought up in that environment still believe it to this day. And that is a big problem we're still trying to fight.
And back to your federal lawsuit, Rudy, you're using the Americans with Disability Act. You know, was there any hesitation on your part in using that provision of the law?
As far as I'm concerned, in this issue that I am fighting on right now, it is the perfect use for it. A thing where I can say, hey, look, I'm a disabled person. I'm federally recognized as a disabled person. I need my state-approved medication. The federal government hasn't come down on me yet for it. The federal government could have. I mean, look at all the prior history I have. And every time my state has defended me, because I haven't broken any laws statewide.
And Rudy, one more question for you today. If you had an activism wish list there, what do you think would help patients get out the word on all of this and activate the locals in San Diego County the most?
There are no big name activists in San Diego. They've been trying to keep that out, as in the county board, all of the Republican style people. There's a whole group here in San Diego by the name of the Prevention Coalition that actually fights us on medical cannabis. They've been trying to keep a big name out of San Diego because they know that would be a big spin. If there is a medical cannabis patient out there who wouldn't mind and is big media-style cannabis patient, who wouldn't mind coming to San Diego and helping represent this, because we seriously believe that a big spin of this is in the media. And the way they have the lockdown in San Diego with the media in Clearwater, it's kind of messed up. We don't get on the media that often enough to make somebody come out and do like that. So if there's anybody willing to step up in San Diego, we'd greatly appreciate that.
Oh, Rudy, this has been a wonderful conversation, as always. I really want to thank you for joining us here today, and I look forward to speaking with you again here in the future.
Oh, I thank you for a chance to talk. This is a great opportunity.
Many thanks again, Rudy. Stay very safe out there. Rudy Reyes is a medical marijuana patient and activist in San Diego County. We have links for more information at normalaudiostash.com. To Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow.